Thanks for tuning in to the Sporting Goods 365. I am your sports guru, Steve Hartley. I got my co-host homegirl with me, Miss Mullins.
What's up? What's up?
You ready to talk sports today?
Let's do it.
We got a great show today. We're talking about the legendary North Carolina coach, Dean Smith. He passed yesterday morning at 83. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Chris Paul and his criticism of the female ref. Was it justified? Is it sexism, as they call it? Was she making just bad calls? We're going to talk about the Browns organization. They've been on the news lately. Johnny going to rehab. The general manager's under investigation. Josh Gordon drinking and with all his problems off the field. We're going to get into that. We're going to jump into the Super Bowl real quick. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Super Bowl because it is what it is. So we're going to talk about National Signing Day, the winners, the losers. I want to really talk about this Mike Weber. It's a lot of things going around with the Ohio State coach leaving. What would Steve do? I am Ray Allen today.
Okay.
I am Ray. Should I come back? Should I retire? Should I do what? We got a special call-in interview with Dr. Tremaine Young. Is that how you pronounce it, miss?
Tremaine Young. Better known as Dr. Trey.
Dr. Trey. He's talking about Tension Fitness. So we're going to get everybody going on, knowing what's going on with Tension Fitness. High school segment, we're going to wash it down. You ready, miss?
Yes, we are.
Dean Smith, he passed. This loss? Yesterday morning, a major loss. Major loss in the sports world. He had finished his career with 879 wins.
Yes.
It seems like numbers are important now with basketball, especially since we're talking about Coach K just received his 1,000th win.
Yeah.
I've always heard with Dean Smith, they've called him an innovator. Where does he rank among, of course he's in the top, but what does he rank?
I mean, I don't think really numbers for him, like I said. I mean, he still had an astounding 879 wins, two national championships.
He was at North Carolina from 1961 to 1997, I believe.
Yes. And, of course, he was the coach of the infamous Michael Jordan, so you got to give him that.
I mean, he had Michael Jordan. He had Sam Perkins. He had Vince Carter. He had James Worthy, Bob McAdoo, Brad Daugherty.
Oh, he had many, many, many great, great, you know, all-star players coming out.
That's just off the top of my head.
Yes.
You know, the arena, you know, the Dean Dome is already named after
yes.
him.
So,
you know,
once you got a dome named after you, it's really not a lot you can do, you know.
It ain't too much.
You have a National Dean Day. I mean, that's about it. And I'm sure North Carolina probably already has that.
Pretty much in North Carolina, I know in Chapel Hill and in the North Carolina region, it's pretty much a national day of mourning. And it should be. This is a man that revolutionized the game of basketball in his own way. He stayed at one university for a long time, brought numerous national championships, numerous conference championships, numerous everything, recognition to that university.
Yes. And the thing is, also, what I've been reading and seeing on TV here since the learning of his passing is just how much a mentor he was.
He stayed in connection with all of his players.
How much he was to even other coaches.
Yeah.
So you always wonder what that dash is going to be within your life, and I think he's established what needs to be, that he was a good man to those that he coached even after they were done. He was a good man to the competing coaches. No one really wanted to go up against him
while
he was coaching.
Not at all.
So, but yes, he has definitely left his legacy.
You're going to be missed. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Now, this Chris Paul situation. Did you watch that game, miss?
I did not see the game. I just saw all the aftermath afterwards.
I saw it. He received a lot of flack for his criticism of the referee. I believe it was the third quarter. It was a stretch where it was three or four technicals called.
Yeah.
They were down a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and me being an athlete, I understand to get back into a game sometimes, just because you're down don't mean you're out.
Exactly.
So you have to turn up your level of intensity. She didn't kind of allow it.
Yeah. And from what I did get to see, you know, after the fact, there was one of the crucial ones, you know, they try to get the ball back in. And all of a sudden, she stops it. And when he questions, you know, why she's not allowing them to get the ball in quickly. That's when she texts him up again.
Because they run a fast offense. They want this thing to move.
So you do have to question. I mean, the thing is that you do have to wonder whether or not, and we talked about this before we went on the air, are they giving him a hard time because she's a female? Would they give him just, you know,
and this is Chris Paul. This is the president of the Players Association.
Yes.
So this isn't just a Dennis Rodman, a troublemaking type of player.
Exactly.
He doesn't have a history of issues. So, I mean, for the most part, you would give him the benefit of the doubt.
You know, and I saw he just got fined $20,000 for his criticism of the officials, but
the referees came out and supported her.
Well, of course they did.
They had
a rookie.
They had to.
She's a rookie. They had to. I mean, it's one of their own. I understand all that. But that still doesn't make it right.
I watched the game. I was seeing it as it was happening. It just seemed like to me that she was trying to make her presence felt.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's fine. But, you know, just the intensity of the game is going on. You can't always...
I mean, the thing is that there's a way to get yourself out there without just making BS calls. I mean, that's just it. To get the respect of the players, you know, trying to make
because
yourself
look
hard.
She didn't get the respect of the players with that performance.
Not for that performance.
No, yeah. No. Everybody is kind of looking at her side eye.
Yes.
But in all honesty, you really can't say anything because in the society that we live, everything is racism or everything is
sexism and everything else like that. People are just so sensitive nowadays.
Sensitive. So you just can't say, hey, man, she was a bad ref. Or was it because she was a female ref?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you really do have to question that because, I'm sorry, I've seen rookie, you know, officials come in making bad calls and the commentators are slamming them. You know, oh, he's a rookie. I mean, we understand. You're new. You're new to it. This is a whole different level. You know, when it comes to the calls, I do have a problem. I do really think that they're siding on this, what's the word I'm looking for?
I think rookie should fall back.
Well, it's not so much about falling back. My thing is also, I think she's getting a lot of sympathy because she's a female in a man's world.
Okay, NBA you can say that, world. Miss. I'm not going to say that.
I can say that. That's
you
just
say
it.
That.
I can say that.
That.
And that was just it. Because I'm a female, I can say that. And the thing is, though, is that it doesn't make it right. I'm not one that I would definitely don't want anything because I'm a female. I don't want anybody giving me any, you know, special privileges because I'm a female. You know,
she had
like
an
that.
Extremely quick whistle.
Yes. And that's just it. And
extremely quick.
And maybe that's just new. And I'm like, this is the NBA.
I wouldn't feel like it was such a thing if it was other referees. You know, if she hit somebody, mm-hmm. then another referee hit somebody, mm-hmm. then she maybe came back and hit somebody.
Yeah.
But it was just her.
Just her, yeah.
And I don't think that the players were targeting her. Mm-hmm. I really don't think so, because they were trying to get back in the game. Yeah, it was down, you know.
I mean, the intensity
DeAndre
was up,
Jordan
yeah.
was jumping around, and he was playing hard. Mm-hmm. He was cussing and hollering.
Yeah. But this is the NBA.
This is the NBA.
It's just it. It's the NBA. So, I mean, coming maybe from a female, maybe she just needs to man it up a little. That's
maybe
the
game.
Like.
Maybe, like you said, maybe the game isn't for her.
Maybe
for
she
her.
Ain't ready for that level.
You can say that. I can.
I can.
Okay. Let's jump to the Browns organization.
The Browns.
You know, just this time last year, they were on top of the world. LeBron had just decided he was coming back home. Mm-hmm. Johnny Football, we got him for the low. You know, everything was looking up for this organization. Then all of a sudden, Josh Gordon gets suspended again. Now it's Johnny Manziel's in rehab trying mm-hmm. to fix some issues. And I big up to him for that. There's nothing wrong with manning up and fixing your problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure the organization wished he would have told them first.
Yes.
Okay. And now the general manager is under investigation for some illegal texting and...
Was it illegal?
Yeah. It's
okay.
Blatantly illegal.
Okay.
So what's going on with this organization? Are they going... Of course they're not going in the right direction. You know, they just got a new owner. I thought things were looking up for them.
Well, everybody wanted the Browns to look up. Browns, you know...
We want them to compete.
We want them to compete. We don't want them to always be, you know, the dumping ground of all the NFL jokes and everything else like that. So
as bad as we criticize Cincinnati from Ohio, they found a way to stay in it.
Exactly.
But the Browns don't, they can't even get in it, it seems like.
And that's just it. It's just, you have to wonder about some of the decisions that are being made within the organization, or just the communication that might be even going on with the organization. They don't seem to be communicating with each other very well right now. There's so much trauma, you know, drama going on just within the organization. You ain't even got to go outside. They ain't even played a game. We're talking about all off-field issues.
Their general manager, I believe his name is Farmer. He has a good reputation, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around. So he knew better than to the texting incident. So he pretty much knew better. Where does his responsibility lie in this whole thing? Because if you're the general manager, you're the closest thing to the owner that the organization is.
Yes.
So you're more of a face of the organization than the quarterback is without anybody seeing you.
Mm-hmm.
Where does his responsibility lie? He knew better. Should this cost him his job? Is this a slap on the wrist? I don't like to take people's jobs.
No, I don't like messing with people's livelihood and everything else
but
like that.
If I'm paying you to run my organization, I expect it to be run right.
Exactly. And that's where the owner needs to take a look at it. And right now, there's just a lot going on, and you're supposed to be the man that's supposed to be handling that. And to me, it doesn't seem like he's handling it too well. So if I was the owner, much as I like it.
Maybe I should have been my What Would Steve Do segment. I should have been the owner of the Browns. Maybe that's next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick with Ray Allen this week.
Okay.
But, I mean, and what about Johnny? What do you do with Johnny? Johnny's worth a lot of money.
Johnny is worth a lot of money because the Browns paid him a lot of money.
Cause he went because higher.
He went higher and everything
business.
Else like
that's
that. It's
business.
The business of him, whatever. But
two
Johnny
players.
Has a whole bunch of growing up to do. And unfortunately, he got a whole bunch of money. To do while he's doing it.
Two players that the Browns really needed and they really, I think, depended on coming into this season were Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon.
Yes.
And the other person was their general manager.
Yes.
They assumed that he would put other players around it. And let's not knock it. You know, they had the other lineman draft pick. He didn't do that good. They didn't look bad. Sometimes
yeah.
they look very competitive. With Brian Hoyer, they got late into the season with still a playoff push.
I mean, I guess the thing is, though, that with Johnny Manziel, there was a lot of hype that came with Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
There was just a lot of hype. There was a lot of, you know, he was known. And so for him
Dallas
to go to the Browns.
But that's a whole different story.
That's a whole different story. But that was just it. He was known. So he brought a lot of that to the Browns, and maybe
but
the Browns.
They needed that.
I mean, they needed a little recognition, but
they needed that buzz for the organization,
yes.
for the city. They needed that.
Yeah.
That was good for them, I believe.
But honestly, I think LeBron, who's in the NBA, more brought more buzz to it than Johnny Manziel did.
Oh, most definitely.
So
that's not even a question.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just have to, I think they're going to have to do a lot of soul searching over these next couple of days, especially the owner.
They don't have a lot of time.
They don't have a lot of time, but that's what I say. Over these next couple of days, he needs to figure out just, is he going to play hardball? Like I said, is he going to give him a slap on the wrist?
Do you cut cut ties with Johnny and Josh?
No, because those are the boys that you picked them. I mean, that's just, it's like.
You know, Chris Carter,
you picked them.
He went through his issues
yes.
in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And he said one of the things that turned him around was when Buddy Ryan, everybody loved Buddy,
mm-hmm.
Buddy cut him. That gave him a reality check.
Yes.
And he's also been speaking out front forwardly about the Browns need to cut Josh.
Okay.
I heard his letter. I read his letter.
Yeah.
I read it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I hear explanations, but I also hear a lot of excuses.
Yes.
Flat out.
I mean, the thing about it, though, is that to me, with that, it was the pot calling the kettle. I'm sorry. Like I said, you went through this, so why are you throwing this kid?
No, I don't think, I didn't take it as that. I'm just,
so,
you know, sometimes you have to take responsibility for your
actions. You do.
And somebody that has gone, everybody can't always baby you.
No.
And when you're in that situation as a professional athlete, a lot of the people that in your circle want to rub your egos. Because
well,
you pay for everything.
Because you're paying for everything, yeah.
But somebody from the outside in that doesn't directly have any ties to you except an NFL brotherhood
yeah.
giving you some raw, honest, tough love
yeah.
could be good for you.
I mean, yeah, I think it could be good. Is he going to listen to it?
No.
I mean, that's just that's the problem.
No.
because it's going to have to be somebody close to him, inside his circle. Not just about respecting, but that he feels knows him. Because Chris Carter coming from the outside, like I said, the only thing they have is that NFL brotherhood. He doesn't know him as a person. This kid just may be struggling on the inside with something that we don't, fighting demons that we know nothing about. Okay. And that's just it.
Yeah.
And so for that reason,
but
he
still respect Chris Carter for reaching out.
I don't respect Chris Carter from reaching out. I mean,
because
a lot of people would just be like, go do it yourself.
When you fall on your face, oh well.
Because a lot of people don't. Like I said, a lot of people think that just because he's this NFL player and he has all this money and everything else like that, that they don't have their own issues.
Yes.
You know, like I said, that they're not fighting their own demons, just like anybody else who, you know, works at regular 9-to-5.
Yeah.
They do have their issues, and people have to remember that these NFL players are human.
Yes.
I'm not condoning some of the things he did, but
because
the thing is,
some of the things
that
they do are terrible.
It's terrible.
But we couldn't live with the spotlight that they have on them.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's just
like
it.
That.
It's unfortunate they have this spotlight on them, that everything that they do is in the news. It's newsworthy. It's all over the internet and everything else like that. And that's unfortunate. But honestly, that's another level of what's going to help hurt them in finding whatever demons that they might be going through.
Because they don't have any privacy.
Yeah.
They can't go through their alcoholism or their drug addiction or their domestic violence issues
and
in
private. And then, like I said, it also comes down to that, you know, it's like when you're surrounding yourself, you're the golden boy in your group. You're the one paying for everything. You're paying for this house or that car.
You can't do anything.
And everything else like that. No one is going to give you those tough words, and that's just it. I won't say no one. A lot of the
times, anyone you want to listen to.
Any person that you listen to that you trust that feel like you know you, a lot of times they're going to be afraid that you're going to cut them off.
Yes.
If you tell them the hard truth about yourself,
so
the road that you're going down.
Yeah, most definitely.
So hopefully I hope he gets the support that he needs, whether it be from Chris Carter or someone within closer
to
his group, something, church, the family, someone.
Jim Brown,
Jim Brown, come on now.
Go get that boy.
But yeah, so that was just it. Hopefully he'll get the help that he needs, because obviously that this kid is fighting some demons. And like I said, we all see this in NFL. For me, you know, I do see him as a kid. That's just got a lot thrown on him. This is probably a lot riding on his shoulders that we don't know about, fighting demons that he doesn't know about, because some of his mistakes are just
I can guess bad. He's paying for his whole family.
Oh,
I can guess he's paying mom and
I mean,
well,
that thing is okay. And even
and
if he,
he's
I
financing
mean,
the
he's
house.
He's financing the house. And even if he is, okay, that's fine. But that's just it. It doesn't mean, like I said, we have a pressure. We have dad who's working the 9-to-5 who might have his secret alcoholism, that's just it, but spotlight on him because he works for General Motors or or whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's just it. The spotlight's not on him. There's a lot of pressure that comes with being in the spotlight, and a lot of times people don't appreciate that. And so that's just it. I hope someone that's close to him that he can trust and everything else like that helps this kid fight with whatever he's fighting, because it's something with the alcohol, the DUI, with the weed and everything
something
else like that.
Change,
something has to change.
What he's doing isn't working.
Yes.
We're praying for you, brother, and we wish you the best. Super Bowl. Yeah, really.
It was laughable. It really was laughable.
It was
laughable.
A good game.
It was a good game, and that was just it. The going
knew,
back and
I
forth.
Knew that,
it was going to be
Seattle
a close one.
Was beat up.
Yeah.
I knew that they were beat up.
They were beat up, but the thing about it, though, is that, you know, me and you had your predictions. I should have won. But that was just it. Going for that last play. I should have won.
Vote against Brady.
No, I think it wasn't. I'm sorry. New England's win had nothing to do with Brady. Seattle let New England win, as far as I'm concerned. That would always go down in the worst call ever in Super Bowl history. He just ran 4 yards on a tough defense. And that same, you know, I'm like, and then he wasn't even a whole yard, it was a half a yard.
I didn't put myself in the coach's position.
No.
Because I got it. Everybody knows Marshawn's going to run the ball. Everybody knows Marshawn. So let's give him a little play action and do something. I put myself in his position, and what would I have done?
I've tried.
I really tried. Literally, like, you know, what situation would I have thrown the ball?
Yes.
Is there any situation that I would have thrown the ball? The only situation that I possibly would have thrown the ball is it would have been fourth down.
Thank you.
I have tried to run it three times.
Exactly.
And it didn't work.
Exactly.
That's then the I would have gave you a play action.
Scenario, the play action.
To make you think I was still running the ball.
I would have gotten the penalty and I would have moved back to the 6-yard line, you know, on that play. There was all these different scenarios that I went through my head and none of them.
You know, players make bad plays. Is this just going to be a mark on Pete Carroll's record
most definitely.
As
most definitely.
A bad call?
Most definitely.
Will he ever live this down? I think he will.
If he wins the Super Bowl next year.
I believe if he never wins another Super Bowl.
It's always going to be a taint. I mean, I'm sorry. It's always.
The players turned on him didn't help. The players turning on him kind of.
I mean, the thing is, like I said, players from all across the league, everybody in the world wondered why you did not give it to Beast Mode. Come on.
You know, I've heard Pete Carroll talk. I've heard he say he cried, and I believe that. I believe that he's hurt because I believe he wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard the conspiracy. You've heard it.
Yes.
Don't give it to Marshawn. He's not going to speak to the media. He's going to make the Super Bowl winning
we'll talk
touchdown
about that next week too. Yeah.
And grab his crotch. I just necessarily, that's hard for me to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone makes that decision to do that, you turned your back on everybody that's played all year. The front office, the coaches, the linemen,
exactly.
The special team.
Uh-huh.
Their best interest, that team's best interest is not in your heart.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's hard for me to swallow.
I just, that was
hard. I might
hard
be wrong.
One.
I mean, it was
just hard.
But that's
like I
hard
said,
to swallow.
I mean, it's in the books. New England's, you know, got another Super Bowl ring, everything else like that. But to me, Seattle let them have that one. I'm sorry. I'm just never going to change on that one. Tom Brady gets all the respect. Yes, he's a great quarterback. Everything else like that, he'll be in the Hall of Fame eventually. We all know that. But I'm sorry. Seattle let them have that one.
Yay, that one was. Wow. I mean, wow. That's all you can say. Wow.
It's just wow. Yeah.
National Signing Day, miss. It's finally over. Seen all the hoopla. The mm-hmm. SEC was a winner. The
yes.
Big Ten had some winners.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? You keep up with it?
I was keeping up with it as much as I could. Of course, I was at work. I was just trying to keep up with the different signings. Nothing really stood out. Most of the players went where they said they were going to go as far
Ohio
as
Ohio State
signing.
Stole a couple.
Ohio State stole a couple.
Alabama was number one.
Alabama was number one. I think Ohio State ended up finishing sixth.
Yeah.
In the recruiting class, which is great. Like I said, there was really no surprises to me. You know, I talked about it briefly last year, that number one player, his choices were between Alabama and Florida. He stuck with Florida. That number one lineman, his was between Alabama and Florida. He went to Florida. So
you know what? With the National Signing Day, I enjoy it.
Oh, I enjoy it. It's a great time for the kids. It's a major decision.
Yes.
I mean, this is a life change.
That's a burden off your back.
It's a burden off your back sometimes and everything else like that. But, you know, of course, with media, you know, national news and everything else like
social
that. Social media.
It's a
you know,
beast
these kids
now.
Were being televised. You know, a lot of the, especially the top 100.
Yes.
A lot of their signings were televised at their schools
All
and whatever.
All-star
you know. Game was played earlier this year. A lot of them shined in that one. I mean, I understand it's a great opportunity. It's a lot of pressure. What I hope that in, you know, eventually, cross fingers, I'll be going through this too in a couple of years.
Yeah, you got a big one.
I got a big one too. That's going to be coming up in a couple of years and we're going to. But I really need.
Watching this, is that going to help you handle your situation differently?
Well, the thing is always that I am a researcher.
Okay.
I don't really try to go into anything blindly. I've done this once. It was a hard time for me when I had to do it with my oldest son, just because the person I always thought that would be there for me, my dad passed away.
It was a different.
And, yeah. you know, today is actually the anniversary of his death. But
rest in peace, Pops.
And so, but the thing was is that I remember my dad passed away on a Friday, and that Tuesday I got the first call from a recruiter, you know, and it was just like, sweet, and I remember sweet. Going to call my dad, like, oh, man, you know, and so I didn't have a lot of, I had some guidance from his coaches, even Little League coaches who'd gone through that and whatever, but it was, now that I've gone through it with him, though, I'm a little more wiser, I'm a little more skeptical, I'm a lot more protective of my youngest son when it comes to this recruiting process. The parents really need to arm themselves. I've been fortunate enough to, you know, have a coach tell me it can literally go from flattering to overwhelming overnight.
Yeah.
And that's what some of these parents with these top players need to arm themselves with as much information that they can. My son, you know, we're talking about Mike Weber, you know, we can talk about him in a minute. My son went through something similar. My son, there was a, you know, the recruiting coach that came up and recruited him, and, you know, they wine, they dine you and everything else like that. They schmooze you, tell you how much you love your son and everything else like that. 2 weeks after signing day, he took another job at another university.
Yeah, that happened.
You know, a month after that, the defensive coordinator took a job at another university.
Yeah.
A week before camp started, the school fired the head coach.
The business of recruiting.
It's the business of it, and that's what I think a lot of people fail to realize. College football, like I said, that flattering, oh, everybody wants my son to play for them and everything else like that, it is still a business.
Yeah.
It is a billion-dollar business, and that's what people really need to keep in mind when it comes to, you know, where your child's going to end up. It is more than just playing for a particular coach.
Yeah. You spoke on that. You spoke on the Mike Weber. It was two athletes that I want to speak on that are kind of going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
A five-star defensive end, C.C. Jefferson.
Yes.
Out of Florida. Mm-hmm. I guess the defensive coordinator left, and he had to, his father had to sign. Make a long story short, they ain't got the facts.
Yes.
Mike Weber out of Detroit, Case Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Signed, still delivered. You know, Michigan gave him a real hard push at the end. He signed, Ohio State's coach, went to the pros, went to the Chicago Bears. You know, that stinks to be the kid.
I mean, it does, because people keep forgetting it. He's still a kid.
Here we go. Tremaine Young.
Tremaine,
I'm sorry.
Hello there.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well.
It's Tremaine Young, Dr. Tremaine Young, right? Better known as Dr. Trey.
Young, yes. Everyone calls me Dr. Trey.
Dr. Trey.
That'll work just fine.
Yes. Okay, Dr. Trey, tell us about Tension Fit. I've seen the videos and everything else like that. It looks quite intriguing. I heard you are the inventor of Tension Fit. So tell us a little more about Tension Fit.
Tension Fitness started back in 2011. The product that I devised for my engineering background, before becoming a primary care physician, I got an engineering degree from Ohio University.
Okay.
So using both of those backgrounds, I was like, can I develop a product that we could use anywhere? So I don't care if you're at a park, I don't care if you're taking your kids out to swing, if you're at your house, the office. I wanted people to be able to empower themselves and get their physical activity in anywhere.
Okay.
So the Tension Fit Trainer, also known as TFT, is a device that comes fully equipped. As soon as you get the device, you don't need any other extra attachments. It's everything is all in one.
Okay. And so is this something that just about anybody do at any fitness level, you know, from beginner to that hardcore athlete? Or is this something that you should be at a different, you know, an already arrived level as a as far as fitness is concerned?
To be honest with you, in my clinic right now, and we've been testing this for the last, 20 days in my clinic, and I've had participants that have ranged from 5 all the way up to almost 85.
Okay.
And it's a level that, you know, I have Ohio State athletes that have come in that I've tested it, of the Division I professional athletes, to, you know, my geriatric patients.
Okay.
So this is a device that is not, I like to say, intimidating. You know, some people that go to the gym, they use all the weights. They're very intimidated. This is something that's easy to use. but you also can get your flexibility, your muscle endurance, and also your cardio in all in one device.
Okay.
How you doing, Dr. Young? This is Steve Hartley here.
Steve Hartley, how you doing? Good to meet you.
I'm great, man. I'm great. I got a question for you. This Tension Fitness. I'm a former athlete. I played college football at Bowling Green.
Okay.
Tell me directly how this could help a football player, a baseball player, a golf player with their swing. How can this Tension Fitness process directly transpire into helping on and off the field?
Well, the biggest thing about all the sports that you mentioned is that the key to any of those sports, from golf, from football, to basketball, to track and field, is the engagement of the core. So okay. If your core is engaged, that means that you can explode more through your hamstrings. You can explore more through your quadriceps. You can change directions. And that's the key to exercising with the Tension Fit Trainer, is that it engages your abs through every move. It's not like you have to do isolated crunches, or you have to hurt your neck trying to do crunches. Even if I was working my biceps, if I was working my calves, I will be engaging my abs using the Tension Fit Trainer.
Okay.
Another thing that happens, you mentioned football, uh-huh. and something that's same thing on the same lines as football and track, is that my coach used to have us doing parachute runs.
Yes.
No one has space to do a parachute run. Yeah. You know, first of all, the parachute is very cumbersome to make
it
travel, and then you have to have a lot of space, like a big field, to be able to use it adequately.
Yes.
With the Tension Fit Trainer, you can hook it up to a tree, you can hook it up to the door, you can actually hook it up to your car, and you'll get the same resistance run as using the parachute.
Okay. Well, I am actually a track coach. I've been coaching track. I was a track athlete in high school and went to school on a track scholarship. I'm actually been coaching for about 16 years. So, I do know the limitations when it comes to that parachute. When it comes to my
right.
runners and everything else like that, we would have to get them out on the football field when we could to
exactly.
Help them run and whatever. But, like, right now I'm going through an issue. I am the throwers coach at DeSales High School, and I'm running out of things I can do indoors. So when it comes to
– The Tension Fit Trainer will help you with that, especially for the throwers.
Okay.
Throwers use a lot of leg drive.
Yes.
And through that leg drive, that means that those abs have to, you know, to be cut on. And what you do with throwers is you have them do their same range of motion, but you put the TFT around their waist.
Okay.
So now we take the TFT away. When you get out to outdoor season, you have more space. Now the muscle memory of the TFT being there and bringing that resistance to the body is no longer there.
Okay.
So now your throws are going to be a lot stronger. And, you know, as you know, with the jumps and the throws, it's a multiple rounds that you have to go through.
Yes.
So your athletes need to get stronger through every round.
Okay.
So with the Tension Fitness, it's great for flexibility and ab and core strength as well?
Yes, it is. Actually, we just did a shoot. I'm in New York City right now, and we just did a shoot with a Pilates studio up here with some yoga instructors as well.
Okay.
And they were doing all kinds of different stretches, warm-up exercises that they were using with their clients before they even started the yoga routine.
Do you use it? Is this a product that you use?
I use it every day. It's the only thing I do use. I haven't used a weight in the last 12 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is something actually that can help with flexibility. I got a couple of my guy throwers that are just completely inflexible. They just cannot
always
bend.
A guy. Always a guy.
Of course it is. You know, we're talking about, I also did ballet for many years, so my flexibility is on point even now. So, but the thing is, I do have a couple of guys, and I do run into my guy throwers that just don't have that flexibility, especially within the waist, the core, to be able to snap that hip, you know, that type of thing when it comes to the discus throw especially. They're just so stiff. So would the TFT be able to help them kind of loosen up within that?
Well, when we do static stretches, and that's what we grew up doing, is everything is a static stretch. And with the TFT, you're actually, when you're engaging that muscle and you're stretching it,
mm-hmm.
you're stretching under tension.
Okay.
So it's almost like you're doing the exercise even through the stretch.
Okay.
So it makes the muscle warm up quicker and is bringing more power to that area.
Okay. Well, I would definitely have to look into this TFT for my throwers, because I am always, I got a really...
I got another question.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
What, Dr. Young... What was your vision? How did you start out with this? Is this something that you started that you had an idea that you wanted to develop, or it's just kind of something that evolved after you've made small steps and, hey, I got this tension, I can do this with it. Tell us your background. How did you get to this point?
Well, the biggest thing was that I was never a person that was prone to wanting to do weight. A lot of doctors, they understand that when a lot of people do a lot of weight training, what happens is you get something that we like to call DOMS. DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. So when you have an athlete and they're working out in the perform peak performance, if sore, they're not gonna, the muscles won't react very well. I was having the same problem when I was doing high jump, doing the long jump. I was hitting the weight so hard that when it was time for me to go out there and actually do my performance, I was too sore to peak all the time.
Yeah, I get it.
So what I really wanted to do was I wanted everyone to always to be able to train for peak performance without having that delayed onset muscle soreness.
Okay, yeah. And that, you know, once you're sore, you don't really feel like doing anything. Just flat out.
You know, I always
tell... You're breaking up. I didn't hear the last question. I'm sorry.
I said, once you're sore, you kind of don't want to do anything. So I completely understand with that.
Exactly. And that's what happens. Even with a lot of our young athletes, as they're starting to get stronger, they have the memory of saying, oh, this is hurting me. So therefore, they fall out of a lot of sports because they're not really training the muscle for peak performance. They're actually training and they're getting sore. And that's where a lot of injuries come from, to our joints, to our spine.
Yes.
And we don't want that.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us how someone can get started with Tension Fit. Do you have, I know you're here local, here in Columbus, but so how does someone, you know, get started with Tension Fit?
Right now we're running a campaign. The campaign is on Kickstarter. You can reach our Kickstarter through www.tensionfitness.com.
Okay.
We've been on the campaign ever since MLK. That was our launch date. We have 9 days left. We've already met our goal, but we have a lot of people chiming in right now from the UK, a lot of people chiming in from France, all the way to Korea. So the word is getting out. We may be local right now in grassroots.
Okay.
But once we do our full launch after the Kickstarter, I mean, everyone will be able to will know about Tension Fitness.
Okay, and I know, like I said, I know there's a Facebook page, the Tension Fit. I'm actually... have that on connected to mine, to my page. So you have a Facebook page just so people can get an idea. You know, I'm a visual person, so I want to be able to see what I'm getting involved with as well. So is there something else, like I said, videos? I know there's videos on your Facebook page. Is there any other place other than the website that you can go see?
There's videos actually at Tension Fitness. A lot of people that use Instagram, and we load at least 3 to 5 different routines, different exercises, showing people the versatility of the exercises and the places that they can do them. So we have a very active site right now at Tension Fitness.
Okay.
And that'll be our Instagram page.
Okay.
This is Steve again, Doc. You tell everybody where they can meet you, where they can get in contact with you, where they can, all your Twitter, all your Facebook, all your Instagram, where they can get started, how can they get in contact with you?
The biggest thing is a lot of people have been emailing us at email is info@tensionfitness.com. That's info@tensionfitness.com. That's the way that you'll get a direct email that will actually come to me, and I answer most of the emails. Also, as we just said, the Instagram @tensionfitness, and we're on Twitter @tensionfitness1, and that's just the number 1.
Okay.
Doc, I thank you so much for taking the time out to call in. Letting everybody know what's going on with Tension.
It's all my pleasure. And any way I can get the word out more, we're doing pop-up shops in my clinic. My clinic is located near New Albany, and that's 5650 North Hamilton Road. And we've been doing actually free seminars, doing 19-minute workouts with a lot of our participants in Columbus.
Okay.
I just happened to be in New York this weekend doing a couple photo shoots. We had one in Times Square. And now we're going to do a couple with a little reality people on VH1.
Okay.
So as soon as you come back in town, you know you got to come see us.
Hey, I'm going to come up and visit you guys.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in and introducing us to Tension Fit.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Stay in contact.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Tension Fitness.
Yes. I think I like that.
You know, it's the new wave. You know, you just can't. People get bored with push-ups and sit-ups now.
Oh, trust me. It's like when I was working out with my group on Thursday, all the frowns and everything else like that, that, you know, I had them doing the push-ups, the sit-ups, the planks and everything else like that. Because first when I told them push-ups and sit-ups, they were like, oh, we hate those. But, okay, but we love planks. And then when I had them do that ladder and them planks, oh, no, we hate planks too.
So, hey, that's what you can get your attention.
So that
fitness.
Was just this. So I'm going to look into this for my throwers because I think they need a little something different. I do work with bands with my throwers, but I've just done basics, you know, stretches and everything else like that band. So I definitely will look in this with my throwers. I think it will be an advantage. So thank you, Dr. Trey.
That's what's up. Hey, yeah. I want to jump back into this Mike Weber and this.
Yes, let's go back to that.
With this national recruiting real quick. He felt like he was lied to. I seen the his mother put out a message. I don't know if it was on her Facebook or on her Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Wilson at Grinding Studs. I follow him on Twitter.
Okay.
And he gave a copy of what his mother's statement is.
Okay.
So I'm going to read it for everybody.
Okay.
Everybody wanted my son to play for U of M, but loyalty is what U of M fans are not. They knew the reason why he decommitted from the university and called him names. Then when they thought it was a chance to get him back, come back to U of M. Now he decided to attend OSU. Attitude changes again. Now these are adults that are attacking my child. What made you guys think he would ever think to recommit at a university that knows he's a child and calls him such disgusting names? As his mother, it really hurts to see this. I still will continue to pray for strength. Lord knows I need it.
I got to commend her for standing up for her son. I really do. And the thing about it, though, is that we've heard all the hoopla. You know, only thing that he tweeted was that he was hurt. Yes. And the thing is, I don't blame him. He's allowed to feel hurt.
Like
you do establish relationships when it is a recruiting process. They you know, tear at your heartstrings and everything else like that. That's why it's all the big fanfare and everything else like that when it comes out to recruiting these top players in the country.
It seems like he has a lot of people in his ear as well.
Well, the thing about it, though, is that but the people that is in his ear right now, are they really looking out for him or are they trying to get their own spotlight?
You know what? I can't answer that because I don't know personally.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it,
you know
though,
what
is
I mean?
Like I said,
he might have a good family.
His mom obviously is definitely in his corner and everything else like that.
But
it's going
to really
look out the best for him. But the other
has.
Thing about it, though, is that I have yet to read where he said that he didn't want to come to still come to OSU.
No.
He just said that he was hurt by the coach leaving, and he has a right to be hurt by that coach leaving.
Notre Dame's coach, I forget his name.
Yeah,
they're running
I mean,
back
and
home.
That was just that. Unfortunately, you know, like I said, with a lot of the media and everything. People keep forgetting that coach changes happen all the time, especially when they're talking about a running back coach or a defensive coordinator.
Especially at a winning organization.
Or especially when you're talking about this is the undisputed national championship. You think the NFL hasn't looked at other coaches within that staff, you know, to kind of pull away from it?
College coaches as well.
A
defensive coordinator can go to being the head coach and more
yes.
money.
And that's
like
just
that.
It. And so the thing is, like I said, it's an unfortunate event that happens when it comes to recruiting process, but that's why I really have to encourage and parents to know that when it comes to your child deciding on what school to go to, make sure the child is deciding that the school is what's best for them,
not just
the coach.
I feel bad for the young man.
You know,
because
I'm
when
like,
it all boils down to, I want him to be happy.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a Buckeye and I love Ohio State.
Oh, yes.
But if the Ohio State University is not the place that he can be the best young man that he can be, then don't come here, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like I said, I
go somewhere where you're
I definitely
happy.
Understand. But until I see other than him being disappointed or even I've heard the word he felt like he was deceived with Drayton leaving
coach,
and just the, I mean, the timing
out.
Of it is questionable. I mean, you wait to the day after signing day. The other thing that people need to realize, though, is that National Signing Day is just the first day that you're ineligible. Arm yourself with as much information as possible before you sign that contract.
You don't have to sign on that
You
day.
Don't have to sign on that day. You can sign until spring to that, you know, as far as your intent to play at a school. It's just the first available eligible signing day for them to sign those letters of intent. Know what you're doing. Know what you're getting into. It is a legal contract. It is not governed by the NCAA. That's
so he's
the
pretty
other
much
thing.
Stuck. I mean, Ohio State can let him out, but he's.
I mean,
can't
what the thing
Michigan.
About it though is that
he'd have to sit out for a year.
His parents would have to pay. It's not a matter. It's not. That's just a lot of people. It's not a matter of him just sitting out for a year, unless he went down to a lower division school, a D2 or a D3 school, he loses. If he doesn't honor his national letter of intent that he just signed and faxed over to OSU, he loses 2 years of eligibility. Not just sitting out, he loses 2 years of eligibility.
Wow.
So it's a major deal and everything
it's
else like that. And that's
decision.
Even if Ohio State is willing to release him, that's why you have to understand, you signed with the school.
Not
you
the
do
coach.
Not sign with the coaches. So, like I said,
I wish
parents,
him the best.
I wish him the best. I'm hoping that he still, you know, wants to become a Buckeye and everything else like that. I know he's established relationships with, I know he was calling Elliot his big bro, you know, that type of thing.
So maybe that can help.
Smooth over things yeah. Because yeah. You got to understand who you're going to be spending most time with. And for most likely, he's going to be spending time with the players. And if he established that relationship already and that closeness with their players, hopefully he'll still be encouraged that everybody there is going to look out for him.
Yeah.
So I wish him all the luck. I hope he finds some guidance. I totally understand his hurt.
Everybody's watching.
And everybody just needs to let this kid, you know, make his decision.
Yeah. Mrs. Minute.
Okay, so we talked about the National Signing Day. Of course, that was big in high school this week and whatever. We also had a local. We had the Girls High School City of Columbus League City Championship. It was Eastmore Lady Warriors against the Centennial Stars. Eastmore was able to pull it off 44-43, winning their first city championship in girls basketball.
Ever. Oh, wow.
So, congrats to Eastmore. It was finally your time. This is finally your year. Hopefully you can do well and move on through this state tournament. Congratulations to Centennial for that runner-up. I think that's actually their first time making it to the city championship as well. So it was
so
a lot
it's
of firsts.
Tournament time now.
And it's, actually the tournament selection for the girls basketballs today. So we'll be hearing about who's going to be lined up. I think actually the way it's told that Eastmore and Centennial can meet up again in either the district finals or the regional semifinals. So they may even meet up again during the tournament. For the boys side, as far as for City Columbus, everyone else is still in league play. But City of Columbus, the city championship has already been set up. It'll be Walnut Ridge versus Northland next Saturday at East High School. Don't have a time yet, but that's going to be big there. It was a big game. Walnut Ridge played against my team, Afrocentric. It was a win or lose. Walnut Ridge had to win to go to the city championship because had Afrocentric won because Walnut Ridge went last year, Afrocentric would have went to the city championship. So it was a great game. I got to see the second half of the game. It was a great play. It was hard fought. A lot of course tension towards the end and everything else like that. But Walnut Ridge's players decided they were going to pull off and got the victory. So they'll be playing in the city championship next week against Northland.
Hey, well, you talked about it a couple weeks ago
mm-hmm.
about how, you know, it's city championship time, you know, city, state, that you felt like Columbus and Ohio City schools would really have a hard time getting that national, you know, number one in the nation, number three in the nation. Why do you feel like that?
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's not so much about our schools. We get this, I mean, the suburban schools and everything else like that. It's really about scheduling. We are in the shadows of Ohio State.
I thought that would be a good thing.
It's a good thing when it comes to recruiting the players. We get a lot of players that can go on to Division I and everything else like that here locally that can play at that next level. But when it comes to scheduling, there's a lot of restrictions on how many out-of-state games that we can travel to when it comes to City League. So that brings a lot of restrictions. I think we can only do one out of state for season. So that puts on a lot of restrictions.
Is there a limit of how far it can go? Can that one out of state be in Florida?
Northland actually just played in Myrtle Beach over the holidays and everything else like that. So I think there is a mile limit on what they can do. I'm not really sure about the restriction on that, but there are restrictions as far as how many out-of-state games that City League can play in. So with that, it'll make them hard to really get that national recognition. Like I said, a couple years ago, Northland became, you know, got a map because they were ranked nationally, and that's when Jared Sullinger and Trey Burke and them were playing. And then they were able to play that that number one team in the nation that was on ESPN and that type of thing. And we got that recognition only because of prep. Because they were national and they had put us on the schedule, and so it was televised, and that's how we got that national recognition in. But with girls basketball, like I said, it's really hard, even though we have all kinds of talent in Central Ohio, especially in the City League. And even, like I said, and even in the suburban leagues, it's really hard to get that national level because of the restrictions that we have on out-of-state competition.
They need to change that, man. We, you know, I enjoy watching good sports, and I'm pretty sure
there's a lot of good tournaments that actually, though, that Ohio is now starting to to host now.
Yeah, with the Jared Sullinger one
For the girls basketball.
If you can't beat them, join them.
It's the exactly for girls basketball. It's Classic in the Country that's up in Amish Country in New Berlin, Ohio.
Okay.
That's always during Martin Luther King weekend. A lot of teams from all over the country play to that one. And Eastmore actually just played in that one as well over the holidays and over that holiday weekend. So there are times where we can get that recognition out there and everything else like that. But there are tournaments that are now being hosted here in Ohio that we can participate in and try to get that recognition.
Gotcha. Wind it down, miss. Give them all your info. How can you stay? How can they stay in contact with you to keep this conversation started?
All right. Well, you can hit me up. I'm on Instagram at MissMiss33 on Instagram. You can also hit me on Facebook, Miss Mullins. That's M-I-S-S Mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S. You can also hit me up on my Yellow Sky Foundation email. It's yellowskyfoundation@gmail.com. And you can also hit me up on my personal email if you have any questions. Either MrsMiss33@yahoo.com or miss.sportinggoods365@gmail.com. So hit me up.
I am Steve Hartley, your sports guru. You can hit me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, your sports guru. I got the Facebook page, your sports guru. Hit the website. Check out the articles. Check out what we're talking about, www.thesportinggoods.com. We got Just Talk Radio. Y'all know y'all can hear us every Sunday, 1 to 2 o'clock right here. And Blog Talk Radio every Monday at 7 p.m. I thank you for taking the time out to listen and talk sports with us. Holler at me when you see me in the streets.
All right. Everybody take care.